96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We are at the Reporters Roundtable tonight. We're talking about a substitute teacher accused of sexually abusing a D.C. high school student, a very tight Maryland governor's race, and Charles Barkley's comments about black people and more. My guests are Latrina Antoine, editor for the Afro-American Newspapers, Barrington Salmon, reporter for the Washington Informer, and Lauren Burke, managing editor for Politics365.com. Lines are open. Give us a call. Join the conversation at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Certainly, it's always good to have you in. Let's get right into this situation. The big question, what is going on in our schools? Simone Green, 22-year-old substitute teacher, on her first day, she is accused of performing a sex act on a 17-year-old student at the Options Charter School here in Washington. There are so many moving parts to this story. Lauren, I'll let you have the first comment. What's going on
here? Well, what's going on, I guess, is low standards in that particular charter school. Obviously, the charter school movement thinks it can produce a better product than public schools. I don't know about that. I don't know that this incident is really something that reflects the charter school system in general, but obviously she should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. That's clear. You know, what she did obviously was outrageous. There's really nothing to say about it other than that.
What would possess someone at 22 years old to do something like that? If you are going to have the responsibility, substitute or not?
Well, obviously in our society, whether it's a teacher or anybody else, we do have people who do, obviously things that are improper. I mean, it's not just just the teaching profession or just even 22-year-olds, but there's not much to say about it other than the fact that the screening process obviously for the school is, I think, at fault, to say the least.
I wouldn't even talk about the screening process. Okay. I mean, okay, so you have this 22-year-old woman, this is her first date, and then you have this 17-year-old kid who you can't tell me didn't know how to manipulate this woman. Yes, was she at fault? Yes, she was at fault. Should she have done it? No. But the impression that I got is that this kid was used to manipulating women, and that's exactly what he did to this woman. He manipulated her. He saw something in her that wasn't very, she didn't have a lot of self-confidence maybe. Maybe he saw something that he could attack, and that's what he did. And I think he did that. Not to put it the fault all on the student, but I'm saying it shouldn't all go on the teacher as well. And I haven't read anything about her having past incidences such as this. So I don't understand how.
Can you know that there was a risk of some kind of activity such as this happening?
Exactly. You know, and I've heard outrageous things, comments coming off of some of these reports, and for the lawsuit, I think it's just some of the things in the lawsuit that the family filed are just outrageous.
Well, yeah, I mean, the family of this student is suing Simone Green, suing the high school. Yeah. And the business that placed her in the high school for millions of dollars.
$3 million. I don't know. I just keep on thinking that she's an adult. No matter how manipulative he might have been, she's an adult. I'm just at a loss to understand how anybody could do that on the first day of school.
It's, you know, a lot has been made, you know, Barrington, of, well, golly, it happened on the first day. First day, fifth day, 50th day, fifth year.
Still wrong.
Yeah, without a doubt. Can we go to the phone lines? Because there are a lot of people that want to get in on this conversation at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Cedric, calling from Winchester, Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, two quick comments on Charles Barkley. We can't expect him to say anything else because he's married to a white woman.
But, you know, Cedric, hold on. You may have to call back. We haven't even gotten to the Charles Barkley issue. And suffice it to say, I'm sure there's some folks out there that do not know what you're talking about. And so, you know, that statement about who he's married to is very inflammatory and, dare I say, improper or at least inappropriate. So let's put ourselves in a position to apply a little context. So with that said, I'm going to take a break. Cedric, I ask you to give us a call back because we haven't gotten to Mr. Barkley yet. But I promise if you call back, we will bring you into the conversation. We'll be back in just a moment. We're at the Reporters Roundtable, so stay with us. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Reporters Roundtable with our panel of reporters, Latrina Antoine, editor of the Afro-American Newspapers, Barrington Salmon, reporter for the Washington Informer, and Lauren Burke, managing editor for Politics365.com. Got a lot of topics tonight. Before the break, we were talking about Simone Green, a 22-year-old substitute teacher for a high school in Washington, D.C., a charter school where she is accused of sexual abuse of a minor. So let me go back to the phone lines. Antonio calling from Capitol Heights. Thanks for calling, Antonio. What's on your mind? Antonio, go right ahead. Okay, we don't have Antonio. One of the other issues that as it relates to the schools, because we have two big school issues here. It's not only the issue of Simone Green, but we also obviously have a situation of horrific violence coming out of Washington State, where we've had two high school students shot to death and a 14-year-old gunman who took his own life. Once again, another school shooting. This is happening in a suburban area. This was a popular student, someone who was not known to have any issues. Why is this happening now? What are we missing?
Well, Harvard just did a study that showed that there was a spike in over the last 2 years in mass shootings. Obviously, our country is a gun country. We love our guns. We for whatever reason, the power of the NRA, I suspect, is the number one reason. We never want to regulate or take any guns away. You know, the kid got the gun from home, and they're looking into, you know, how did he get the gun? Well, he got the gun because he lives in America, and it's easy to get guns. So we should expect more of this.
But then, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But then can you come to that conclusion? Because, okay, the kid got the gun from home, but the kid could have just as easily gotten the gun off of the black market.
Exactly.
It's availability of guns that she's talking about.
General availability.
Just the general availability. I thought after Sandy Hook that this country would have been honest enough to deal with this issue.
But so did President Obama.
And we were wrong.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, if you can't get it after Sandy Hook, you're never getting it. I mean, what can happen more atrocious than Sandy Hook? Nothing.
Well, and here's the other question, and, you know, God forbid, I'm not even suggesting that it should happen in an urban area, but these mass shootings don't happen in urban areas where stereotypically that's where all the guns are. Mm-hmm. We don't see this in urban schools. We only see this in rural schools. We see this in suburban schools. What does this say about the culture? Is it a gun culture in these rural or ex-urban communities, or is there something else?
Well, you know, I keep on wondering if people are using the mental health issue as an excuse. Yes, there may be some people who end up, some shooters who are mentally unstable. But to me, the core issue is that, as Lauren said, we live in a society that glorifies violence.
Go right ahead.
No, and I was going to say that rather that using a gun becomes the first option rather than the last.
Okay, let me go to the phones real quick. Joseph, calling from Washington, D.C. What's on your mind, Joseph? Oh, gosh, that's Mike. I apologize. Mike, go right ahead.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Real quick, Mike, because I'm short on time. Go ahead.
Okay, my comment is I want to talk about the D.C. mayor race and why some people feel like their votes may not count. When you live in D.C., you keep seeing this decade after decade after decade of black leadership with black mayors, black congresswomen, and black city officials, and the poverty in the African-American community is still at the same level. There is no reason under God, green earth, why the African-American community should ever be in a condition that it is in right now with all of this so-called black leadership. Every time these black politicians want the voters to come out there and fight for them and vote for them, as soon as they get into the public office, it seems like they just turn their backs on the African-American community and only bow down and follow the will and the wishes of the white community. This is why a lot of blacks don't feel like they vote count. And then when I listened to Mayor Vincent Gray came on your show last week thinking that the main reason why he lost the mayor's race is because of the investigation. That may have a little to do with it. But when you turn your back on the African-American community, and your chances of thinking they're going to come back to you is very slim. Because I was in Anacostia when doing the primary season, and a lot of people were telling the poll workers out there, hey, this guy's not for us, he's for them. So that's why a lot of people may feel like their votes may not count.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for your comment. We appreciate that. We will be talking about politics on the other side. So for those of you who are on the phone, whatever your topic, please stay with us. We're going to talk about some that we've already discussed, and we have some others, including this Charles Barkley situation and the Maryland governor's race. Stay with us. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. I'm Harold Fisher. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a bit.